The Click and Go Travel Podcast, fueling your wanderlust with far-flung, off-the-beaten-track destinations to just across the water and everything in between.
Welcome back to the Click and Go Holidays Travel Podcast. On this week's episode, we're chatting about six cities with UNESCO World Heritage Sites. Paul and I are going to chat about Rome, Prague, Bruges, Porto, Dubrovnik and Seville. Hi, Paul.
Hi, Jill.
Looking forward to this?
Yes.
Hearing about all the different kind of cities and what makes them wow and the UNESCO heritage sites within them.
Yeah.
So to start off, what exactly does it mean for a city to be recognized as a UNESCO World Heritage Site?
So UNESCO are like world agency who really look to designate cities when they have outstanding universal value to humanity, as they call it. Like that's the definition. So a city in its basic that is wow, historically important and very, very significant. And by designating it a UNESCO World Heritage Site also means that that city in turn has to, you know, meet certain minimum standards.
Okay.
They can't do certain things on planning. They can't make changes. They must respect the historical importance of the city that it has been designated for. So it's about preserving these cities for future generations. It's about recognizing them and differentiating them from other cities.
Yeah.
I think for tourists, it's a great thing to say, you know, it's a UNESCO World Heritage Site. It's historically important. It's got great heritage and we should visit for that reason.
You know? To really learn and to experience, to kind of step back in history. And so.
And I think awareness is improving amongst people around that.
Yeah.
You know, I think a city break is a great holiday to do because you can just nearly do it on a whim.
Yeah.
And from a price point of view, it's so affordable. And with the UNESCO designation, it doesn't mean that that city is going to be any more expensive than anywhere else.
No.
Because you're going to have the range of accommodation. The deciding factor when it comes to price for a city is always going to be the accommodation that you choose to stay in. A UNESCO World Heritage Site almost gives you a reason to go visit.
Yeah.
And then you can explore how come this city has this designation. When we're going through that kind of tick box exercise of the cities that we've all been to, it lends itself to going, oh yeah, I'll go there because.
Yeah, I want to see that
UNESCO.
Kind of. Yeah. Brilliant. So maybe we can start with our first city. We can start and have a look at Rome. So Rome is often described as a living museum. What makes it stand out among the other UNESCO heritage cities?
Oh, like it is. It is a museum. Like it is total history. Going back to Roman civilization, going back to, you know, the circus, the Colosseum, the history, the Roman Empire, all of that. Like you do feel when you're on the open top bus and you're going around, like you're looking at Circus Maximus and you're looking at the Colosseum and you're just kind of going, oh my God, like this has been here for thousands and thousands of years. And here am I, a tourist, able to see it. And here are these people who live here just driving by going about their daily business.
Yeah.
And this is a lived-in, amazing city, and it has all this history and heritage. And then it has the Vatican and all the religious heritage that goes with the Pope and Peter's Square and all of that. So for me, it's probably a very good one to start with in terms of just trying to get the concept of what UNESCO World Heritage means.
Yeah.
And what I like about Rome, you have a river. Like all great cities have a river, don't they?
Yeah.
And, you know, you have the Tiber and it cuts through the city. But it's a very walkable city. Like there's some cities in Europe that are just so vast, you really couldn't.
Yeah.
Rome only has two metro lines and they're not great for tourists because of where they go. So you tend to be on foot in Rome.
Yeah.
And you tend to walk around Rome and you want to because you turn one corner and you see the Spanish Steps and then you go around to the Trevi Fountain and then you're in the Pantheon and then you're in Piazza Navona and then you're at the river and into Trastevere and then you can come back and go across to the Vatican. Like people who go to Rome go back and go back and go back. And,
it's a
and
brilliant
you can
city.
Absolutely see why. It's a great city. It's easy to get to from the airport, from Rome Fiumicino or from Rome Ciampino Airport, especially Fiumicino where the airlines fly into from Dublin, from Shannon or Cork. You just get the appropriately named Leonardo da Vinci Express train straight into Termini Station and you're in the centre of everything.
Yeah, and the Termini Station in itself is like amazing.
Apart from the kind of core sites like the Vatican Museum and the Colosseum and, you know, the catacombs, all of that, just even the Joe ordinary little churches that you bump into, like whether you're religious or not, whether you practice or you don't, it's just these absolutely breathtaking, beautiful architectural buildings that are art galleries and museums in their own right. That's wandering around Rome. Like, you don't want to over organize or over plan or have your day totally occupied.
Yeah.
Half the fun, I think, of Rome is just wandering. And that, don't even get me started on the food, because that's a different...
Yeah. Different podcast.
That's a different podcast.
Yeah. Brilliant. And then maybe we can move over then to Prague.
Yeah.
Prague is gorgeous as well. It sort of has that storybook reputation. What do you think gives it its magical atmosphere?
For me, I kind of think it's three things for Prague. Again, river.
Yeah.
The Vltava. And Prague Castle, which dominates on the far bank, overlooking the whole city.
Yeah.
It's an enormous site. Like, Prague Castle, like, would be the size of a town.
Yeah.
In Ireland. Like, it is vast. I think somebody was talking about it, and it is the largest enclosed castle or something in Europe. Like, it is enormous.
Yeah.
And the history that goes with it. And there's a cathedral inside it, and St. Vitus Cathedral. And when you come down from Prague Castle, you're then onto Charles Bridge, that stunning pedestrianised bridge,
yeah,
with the beautiful statues that crosses the river, and you have access to some of the little islands in the river where there are restaurants and hotels. And then that takes you on the walk up to Old Town Square. So for me, Prague is that kind of walk from Prague Castle down to Charles Bridge and on to Old Town Square. And everything else around it. And again, you can just go off into the Jewish quarter, into the old synagogues.
Yeah.
You can just walk along the river. There's some more modern architecture in Prague.
Yeah.
But predominantly, it is that classical Central European empirical architecture. And it is just, it's a grand, grand city. I love it. I have to go back. I've been so many times now at this stage, but I haven't been for quite a few years.
Yeah.
And it is one of those cities. Like, I was flying to Prague when there was no direct flights to Prague.
Okay.
And it had just opened up in terms of the Czech Republic. So, yeah, I have to give myself a reason to go back and yeah, visit. But it is fairy tale. And some of the buildings are fairy tale. And in Old Town Square, there's some of the architecture that is almost like something out of Disneyland.
Yeah, it is.
And it's yet kind it's of, ancient.
Yeah, it's,
you know,
amazing. Mm. And then also the astronomical clock, I think, is how it's called.
That.
It's beautiful.
Yeah,
beautiful,
yeah. And everybody
as well
just stands there in Old Town Square watching the characters yeah, coming out. And it's lovely. It's lovely. And like, also lovely at any time of the year.
Yeah.
It's gorgeous in the summertime, and you can go down. There's a gorgeous outdoor swimming pool down at Podolia along the river. There's lovely places where you can sit out at the river. You can take some gorgeous little boat tours for an hour, 2 hours, dinner cruise, evening cruise.
Yeah.
And then in the wintertime, it's got the Christmas markets. It's got all that charm. It's got that winter kind of warmth. It's lovely.
So a great, great spot. And then what about Bruges? That's also kind of storybook.
Yeah,
isn't it?
Very, very. Yeah. I was there for my first time. Was it last year? Yeah, last year. Last March. I was on a cruise out of Southampton, I think, and it pulled into Bruges.
Wow.
And docked in Bruges. And the port is quite a bit away from the town, and the town is quite small. And it is canals and picture postcard and small and chocolate.
Yeah. Brilliant. That's, you know, all you need.
Like, that to me is Bruges. It
yeah,
is. It's walkable. It's compact. It's a city, but it doesn't feel like a city.
Yeah.
You can fly into Brussels and just get the train to Bruges. You could do it as a weekend break. I think, you know, after two nights,
you'd be
done.
It.
Yeah, you'd have everything done. We did it for a day, and we did a lovely canal cruise and obviously drank some chocolate. It's also great for beer. Lovely square. There's always stuff going on. There's a lovely atmosphere. It's all of these old kind of historical streets with massive courtyards behind. It's kind of a bit mysterious.
Yeah.
And all of that. But yeah, the canals are just gas, you know, because it's kind of like Amsterdam.
Yeah, okay.
In terms of the canals. And Amsterdam is only up the road in the Netherlands. So yeah, like, we're in Belgium when we're in Bruges. And like, watch the film in Bruges and you really get a great impression
yeah,
of the place.
Yeah.
But it's, yeah, it's charming. It's small. It's chocolate. It's canals.
Yeah. Sounds great. And you were saying the best way to get there is Brussels. And then
flying to Brussels. And even if you want to do a city break and do like a city break for Brussels,
yeah,
you can easily get to Bruges for a day trip.
Okay.
And you could do it in a day. But obviously it's nicer if you could stay overnight, because then you get the feel of the place and the whole vibe. And it is just a very pretty, very quaint, very nice small city.
Yeah. Would they do Christmas markets as well?
They do. Yeah.
Brilliant. So it's another city that's great.
And it's gorgeous square, and they pack the square with their Christmas markets, and it's really popular because lots of people just want to go to Bruges because it's so pretty. Like it is.
It's not only for
non-Belgian, the Belgians, the Dutch, the Germans all flock across the border and just enjoy Bruges. And why wouldn't you?
Yeah, all the chocolate. And what about Porto? Porto is also a UNESCO heritage site. What makes Porto wow?
I think it's the setting. Like you have the river, the Porto River, and port wine and the Douro Valley that comes out from Porto. And you're close to the coast. You literally have this city that slopes down to the river. Like it is. Have you been?
I've been there, yeah. We spent one or two nights there only.
It's gorgeous. Isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's beautiful.
Like, isn't it that kind of V shape that goes right down to the river? And it's just incredible. And there's some beautiful bridges.
The big red bridge is gorgeous.
You have all of the kind of the port houses, the vineyard houses that have their port, tours, and you can go off and see them. And they're grand old wine houses.
Yeah.
Oh, and the buildings, the architecture, like it's all just so lovely. And again, you have the river. Like the river just kind of, it is, of course, the reason that these cities were developed.
Yeah.
But the cities have then turned themselves into amazing tourist destinations.
Yeah.
And, their river is part of their tourism attraction and everything has grown from there.
And
even on the higher ground outside of Porto, it's still lovely. Like we did some great open top bus tour excursions up there.
Yeah.
Really nice to see. Easy to get to because the flight's into Porto. You've the equivalent of a Lewis.
Yeah.
That goes from the airport straight into town. So it becomes very easy to do. And for me, Portugal is always such good value. There's some great, great cities in Portugal. Like, Porto's UNESCO World Heritage Site. I think they have other ones called like Abidos and Alcobaça. They're just amazing. Their inland cities are just spectacular.
Yeah. Beautiful, beautiful places. And Dubrovnik, I know that's kind of a sun destination as well, but the actual city in itself is a UNESCO heritage site.
It is because like for Dubrovnik, it's a walled city. So it's an ancient, ancient walled city on the Adriatic built to protect the kingdom, that town, that city. And you can walk the walls. And you need to do that early in the morning because it gets very hot and it also gets very crowded.
Okay.
And inside the walls is just the heritage part and all of the beautiful museums, the beautiful old houses, great shops, great cafes, great restaurants, the old harbour. You have a real sense of history there.
Yeah. And because it's a city, it'd be very lived in as well, which would be...
It used to be.
Okay.
Like it used to be very much more lived in. During the war, the Balkan War, like Dubrovnik was under siege and under attack for a lot of time. So you can still see some of the aftermath and damage from the war, but they restored it amazingly. And it became a very popular tourist destination. If anything, Dubrovnik is a little bit over-touristed, especially during the summer, because you have all the flights coming in, plus you have the cruise ships coming in.
Yeah.
And I don't mean to talk about, us, because we're a holiday business and we're interested in people going on holidays.
Yeah.
But I think from a tourism point of view and from a UNESCO World Heritage point of view, Dubrovnik probably does need to address the volume of tourists that it has because it is, in the peak months, there is a sense of it being overly busy.
Yeah.
And not only that, but obviously it's Croatia. It's in the summertime, going to be very hot. My advice would be enjoy Dubrovnik in the off-peak months.
Yeah.
Maybe give it a miss July, August and early September. It's going to be crowded. It's going to be hot. And in terms of it being a lived-in city, unfortunately, because it has become so, so popular, an awful lot of the properties have been turned into Airbnb and there's less families living in it. So what it used to be years ago in terms of a lived-in city, at nighttime, it's actually quiet. Most of the hotels are on the outskirts of the city.
Yeah.
Baban Cook to the north or down towards Savtat to the south, but an absolute gem of a city, well worth going to. And my only kind of warning would be, July, August, early September.
Maybe not. Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty hot, pretty crowded and maybe not the best experience, but there's plenty of other times of the year to go and the flights start in March. So you have March, April, May and June and then you have the end of September into October and into November. Lovely time to be there.
Yeah.
And so less crowded. Such a better experience.
And you're not too hot then as well.
No.
Brilliant. And then Seville, our Spanish cultural city.
Spain is falling down with amazing cities. Yeah. Andalusia is falling down with amazing cities. Seville just being one. Malaga City is outstanding. Granada, Cordoba, and then Seville. And Seville is just spectacular. You know, Seville is where, even though it's an inland city, it's where Columbus sailed when going to discover the Americas. Very wealthy city because it was a port city, even though it's on that Guadalquivir River. It's an inland city, but like very wealthy. So all of the spoils from that conquest came back to Seville. Okay. So it was a very wealthy city in terms of, you know, the houses, the architecture, the cathedral, the buildings, very grand city. And again, the river dominates and separates the city and is the lifeblood of that city because, you know, you think Dubrovnik is hot in the summertime.
Seville is,
Seville is even hotter in the summertime. It is called the frying pan of Europe.
Okay.
Because of where it is.
Yeah.
But, you know, the cathedral, amazing. The Alcazar, incredible. And it's also the home of tapas.
Okay, so yeah,
so,
great,
you know,
food.
They reorientate their day more to night and evening time than daytime.
Yeah.
So if you're going to do Seville, do stuff early in the morning, chill for the afternoon, get into a nice restaurant, get to a nice pool, chill, go to bed and come back out in the evening time, which is what the Sevillanos do. And they enjoy it in the evening time. But the architecture around the Alcazar. And again, a lot of that city is walled. Very compact, very easy to get around, very close to the airport. Like it's only a short hop out to the airport. So all of these cities, perhaps with the exception of Bruges, but even that's accessible because you can fly into Brussels.
Yeah.
You know, are so, so convenient to the airports that they have and great city break destinations. And the UNESCO piece just adds another kind of string to their bow.
Just great. And then also there was that sneaky one that snuck in last minute, the Wrocław.
Wrocław, yeah, in Poland. I love Wrocław. And again, a river. I can't remember the river. It begins with an O, I think, for Wrocław. I'm very bad on the geography piece, but amazing.
Yeah.
Gorgeous, small city. Krakow is everybody's favourite city in Poland for a city break.
Yeah.
If they've done Krakow, they should do Wrocław. And it's spelled Wrocław. Direct flights, incredibly good value for money. Absolutely beautiful. It was on that RTE program, Low Road, High Road, not so long ago.
Okay.
Oh my God. Go back onto the RTE player and find that program. It was brilliant and it would absolutely encourage you to go. And when you see the prices for Wrocław relative
to Krakow,
so affordable, not only for the accommodation and the flights, but also for the day to day in terms of eating out. So definitely, and Wrocław, another UNESCO. We've only touched on a handful of the great UNESCO World Heritage Sites.
Great. And then just to finish, like I always ask, where would you recommend someone starting out of these cities? Which one would you say to go to first?
If you haven't been to Rome, you must go to Rome. Rome is an absolute must do. Prague would be very much up there for me in terms of what you can do. Because another nice thing that you can do if you're in Prague, you could possibly do other cities that are relatively close by. So you could turn it into a Prague, Vienna, Budapest into one, train it to the other, train it to the next, and then come home from the last one. They would be one and two for me. I loved Porto. I loved Seville. I thought Bruges was really, really quaint. And I enjoyed Dubrovnik. I've been a couple of times.
Yeah.
It's just too busy in the summer. So I really don't think you're going to have a good experience in Dubrovnik in the summer. I hate to say that.
Yeah.
But I just, having been there in July, only the year before last, because I had to, from a scheduling point of view, I made a great guide, I made a great day, and we went over to Savtat and we did all of the nice things. Go outside of the peak and you'll have a great time.
Yeah.
And Wrocław. It's an unknown one. I'm sure lots of people don't know it. Definitely do it. It's brilliant.
Great. Well, thank you very much. And hopefully that gives our listeners sort of extra places to add to their bucket lists.
Yes.
So thank you for sharing all that information. And if you would like to follow us on our social media, we're on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and we also have a YouTube channel so you can learn more about travel and holidays and click and go there. Thank you so much for listening.
And thank you all very much.
Thank you, Paul. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.